Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to this, our weekly pastoral connect Bible study and prayer, giving honor to God who is the head of our lives. This is Bishop Horace Michael, the pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is my pleasure to be able to share with you tonight from what thus saith the Lord. We are moving forward in what God has given us, even as the focus for this year is based upon the theme, It Shall Be Done in 21. We are working on the fact that God has given this to us, this gift of the year. As a matter of fact, the gift of this decade as a year and a decade of purpose, power, prayer, and praise. Each one of these represents the driving force behind what we are able to accomplish according to the will of God. Each one of these, along with some other lessons that we have shared with you and will be sharing with you, will fortify you and give you what you need to be able to have lives of great purpose, exhibiting the power of God, developing as a congregation of prayer, and living, learning how to live and to be practical with regards to the praise life. And so tonight, it is our pleasure to be with you once again. And before we go any further, we're going to bow our heads in a word of prayer in Jesus' name. Would you look with me to the Lord at this time? Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor your presence and we are so grateful to know you for ourselves. Thank you that we have come to know you in a very, very real way. Thank you for the mercy you have extended toward us to allow us even to see this day. You have protected us, and it is because of your mercies that we are not consumed. We thank you for the divine protection that you have extended to us and even the favor that you have extended to us as we are here today in your presence. We do not take this lightly. We do not count this for loss. It is our gain to be in your presence. It is our gain to be able to hear your voice. It is our gain, oh God, to be able to come together to strengthen one another in faith, to grow in personal faith, and to even put ourselves in the posture of prayer. Oh God, meet us tonight in a very special way. Bless those that are on the line with us now, and those that will be listening to this lesson in the near future. We commit ourselves into your hands and thank you in advance for the anointing that destroys yokes. Manifest yourself and be a blessing to all of us, Father. We thank you now, for we ask these and all other blessings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you tonight. We want to welcome you again to our weekly Pastoral Connect. We want to get right into it. I've got a lot to share with you, and I want to remind you that as we are in this developmental stage, because we're growing, this is development. This is not derogatory. This is not judgmental. This is not to emasculate. This is not to denigrate. This is not to make anybody feel bad. And the devil will try to make that your experience. But I want to put it out there right now that the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I'm believing God that in the midst of what he's sharing us, that you are going to be strengthened, you are going to be secured, and you are going to thrive in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm excited. Let's get to it. Tonight's lesson, Tuesday, February 9th, in the year 2021. I want you to make a note of this. It's going to work if you work it. It's going to work if you work it. Excuse me. Now, you have to understand that the scriptures have a lot to say to us concerning purpose-driven lives, lives of focus with the will of God, lives that seek the will of God. in all of our ways. We know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This is the promise of God's word. We know that God's word will not return to him void. It's going to accomplish what he pleased and prosper in the place to which he sent it. Every one of you on this, in this lesson right now, God has a purpose to fulfill in your life. And I'm going to speak this over you because I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I want you to get that in your spirit. I want you to speak that out of your mouth. And I want you to respond to the enemy's attack by affirming God's word in your life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we must speak what God says, because God will back up his word. He is not obligated to back up anything other than his word. He's not obligated to respond to feelings. He's not obligated to respond to emotions. He can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but that's not what moves God. He is a God of compassion, but he is not obligated to operate based on feelings. What we are encouraged to remind him of, to bring to his remembrance, my God, whoo, is his word. It's his word. It's his word that he is bound to. It is his word that he invites us to bring to his remembrance. And it's not that he is not sensitive. We have a high priest that is sensitive. It is because of God's understanding of the human makeup, that the sensitivity of the high priest is so critical. It's so critical. He wants us to understand his sensitivity. But I want you to know that it is his word. It is his word that we can call him on, that we can bring to his remembrance. It is his word. It is his word. It's not by bread alone that we live. It's not by the things that add some substance or things that can be added into the experience of life, if you will. It is his word. It is his word. He stands by his word. His word is forever settled in heaven. His word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrows. It is his word. It is his word that David said, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It is the word of God that the apostle Paul admonishes us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. So I don't want you to think he's insensitive. I don't want you to think that God is insensitive, but I want you to understand what God has obligated himself to. Are you with me? I want you to understand. I want you to understand what he's obligated to. He is obligated to his word. He speaks and things happen. He speaks and things are established. And I want you to understand how powerfully you have been set up to be able to be people of tremendous purpose, exercising the power of God. Understand how to pray with power, oh God, and to give God the worthy praise. You've got to speak this thing out of your mouth. You've got to speak it. I've given you a charge that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this ministry and for those that will follow it and support it, that between now and the 31st of May, the end of the month of May, each person is to identify three things that they will commit to. I've gotten responses from some of you. I have not gotten responses from all of you. I've already shared the deadline that I wanted it by, or not so much a deadline. It was a due date, not a deadline in the sense that I don't want it anymore. I want it from everyone, anybody that's listening to me right now. I want your three things. And thank you for those that have submitted it to me. Thank you very much. I've provided some comments and feedback, and I will follow up on any responses that I've received regarding the responses that I've shared. So again, I want you to understand we're in a new decade. This is a decade that we're in. It's not just a new year. Yep, we're in 2021 of it, but it's a decade. And I want you to begin to think in terms of decades. Set goals. Now, we're talking about the long-term goals. I have given you the three goals to be done by May 31st, and that's called short-term goals. And so this is to get you acclimated and get you oriented to what it takes in terms of defining SMART goals. And by now, all of you know that SMART goals are goals that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. A SMART goal, S-M-A-R-T, S-M-A-R-T, that's an acronym for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. If your goal does not fit that criteria, it's not a SMART goal. It may be a goal, but it's not a SMART goal. And we've talked about why. I'm going to go over that some more as well. But I want you to understand, as we are in this decade, I want you to think. Now, this is long-term as well. I'm going to give you short-term, but I'm also going to give you long-term because I want you to put it, I want you to see it in context. I want you to think in terms of decades. Set goals for where you want to be 10 years from now. 1 year from now is not enough. Set a goal for where you want to be 10 years from now. And then let's make every year count toward it. Are you with me? Oh, God. I'm feeling... You just have to excuse me a bit. I'm just feeling the power of God as we're talking about this right now. Because what I want you to get into the habit of is understanding how to measure a good year. We just came out of what a lot of people will remember as probably one of the worst years of their lives. Over 300,000 people have lost their lives now to COVID-19. Now we're at the point of 400,000. Despite the fact that there's vaccines that are coming out, new vaccines that are coming out, people are still losing their lives. And so 2020, instead of it being this great year that we were expecting so many great things in, and it's fine to do that. There's nothing wrong with having positive expectations. In the midst of the year that we were expecting so many great things to take place, disaster struck. And it caused us to shift our thinking in ways that we've never thought before. And while there was significant loss of life, tremendous experiences of pain, businesses have shut down, economics have been devastated, financial situations have been made worse. And so many people have lost jobs, lost businesses, lost loved ones, lost opportunities. 2020 has been a tremendous year of loss. But notwithstanding that, you're still here. You are still here. And God is not through with you. And so For whatever has been lost, I want you to understand you are a survivor. You have survived one of the most darkest years in our experience, one of the most terrifying experiences. People walking around wearing masks and gloves and not wanting to get close to people. People responding in fear around people who sneeze and cough now in public. Things have never, it's never been this way before. And we don't even know if it will ever get back to any semblance of what we knew as normal. And so if we measure the year by the loss and we judge the year by the pain, and we do not take into account what we were able to accomplish, we are writing off the year as a loss. It was not a loss because you grew. You came through it. Emotions were tested. Your mind was tested. You encountered obstacles and opposition. But my friend, understand, every single year will have a measure of that in it. You will never have a year where your emotions are not tested. You will never have a year where your spirit is tried. You will never live a year where you do not encounter obstacles and oppositions. No such thing. But when we look at how we plan our lives, how we set goals for our lives, the goals will give us the strength to endure. I believe Minister Hezekiah preached a message. Our Minister Hezekiah Tinley, our junior pastor, one of the great sons of Beulah Tabernacle, preached a message, "My purpose won't let me die." And I want to bring that to you. You need to write that down. Your purpose won't let you die. So then we must live by purpose. Huh? Oh, God. And so when we create SMART goals, and when we create them in a SMART fashion, it will always allow you to be able to see how closer you're getting to the goal. It will always allow you to see your progress because you have created the goal in a way that's SMART. So let's stop waiting for the all clear. Let's stop waiting for the coast is clear before we make a move. Because if we wait for the all clear, we'll never make a move. And this is what has paralyzed so many people. They're waiting for everything to be okay. When we put together our goals and they're SMART goals, the good thing about it is that it will hold us accountable to progress. My God, I felt something there. When you create your goal smartly, it will hold you accountable to making progress. It gives you something that you can measure. So for example, if I had a goal that was, I want to be a better man. I want to be a better child of God. You know, some of the sisters may say, I want to be a better woman. I want to be successful. Well, I mean, how do you measure that? How do you really measure that? Am I a better man because I take the garbage out and I don't leave trash around the house? Okay, well, but what has that really then done for me to take me closer to the purpose God has me here for? My purpose is not to take garbage out. You know, am I a better man because I stop eating, you know, junk food? Not necessarily. I could still be a bad kind of man if I don't take care of my responsibilities, you know, if I don't take care of my family. But to say I want to be a better man, I want to be a better child of God. How do you measure that? You know, it's so subjective because you can look at me And I can look at you and I can say, oh my God, I wish I was like you. There may be something that's so great about you. When I look at you, it's like, I wish I could be like him. Some may say, I wish I could be like him. But do you really understand what it took for that person to be what they are? With success, there's a weight that comes with it. And the weight that comes with success is the accumulation of experience. Experience that kept me on my course. And so those experiences can be good experiences or bad experiences. I remember as a young child hearing somebody make a reference to lemons, how that lemons typically represented some negative experience, because you know there's a certain sourness to a lemon. And when you talk about life is a bunch of lemons, you know, I remember, and some of you may have heard it as well, when life throws you lemons, what do? You know, you roll over and die, you stick your head in the ground, you fade into dark, you fade into black. No, when life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. Whatever the experience that you have, the creative person, the successful person will find a way to take advantage of it for their good, to capitalize on it, to move them forward. Even failure helps lead to success. Anyone that has ever succeeded in anything that was significant, and if they're honest with you, they'll tell you that on the road to success, there was many failures. And so let's not allow ourselves to fall into the pattern of talking about goals that are so general that you can't be held accountable because there's nothing that can really be measured. So yeah, you're going to need goals that are going to require discipline and focus. And you need to write that down. If my goal does not require discipline and focus, then it's not a good goal. And I'm speaking to somebody that's listening to this, and I'm calling you out right now. Big dreamer. There's a big dreamer on this line right now. There's a big dreamer that's listening to this message. There's a big dreamer that's listening to this teaching. And what this is about to do is to pop the top off and let that dreamer come out. I don't know if there's somebody on the line that will have enough faith to do this, but I need you to write this down in your notes. I am a big dreamer. My God, that I feel that. I am a big dreamer. I want you to write that down, because I hear the Holy Spirit talking to somebody, calling somebody right now. I am a big dreamer. Oh, God have mercy. When I tell you I feel it in my spirit, it shakes me as I say this. Let me go over this with you one more time, because I want to help you to understand and see things that God is giving us, because God has more for us. I cannot tell you how ecstatic I am over what I'm believing God to reveal and to just make real in your lives. And so I want to share something with you right now. I'm going to attempt to share my screen. Please let me know if you see the screen. You can type it in the chat, or whatever you need to do to let me know that you see it in the screen. Okay, very good. I'm going to try to make it large so that you can see it, whether you're using a small device or not. Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. Let's go through this again. I want you to understand this, because setting these goals right is going to help you as we move forward. And I am spending a little time, more time with this, because I want us to get it right. So what does SMART stand for? So again, specific. What is the goal? I want to cut, and here's an example of it. So this is going to share not only the acronym, but it's going to give you an example of what it is that I'm looking for you to do with putting your goal together. Specific, S, what is the goal? I want to cut the 6 hours I spend processing data in Excel every day to 3 hours by implementing an improved work routine. It is very specific, very specific. Now, this person spends 6 hours a day processing data in a spreadsheet. Now, I love spreadsheets, but I can't even imagine what that might be like to spend 6 hours in the day going through a spreadsheet. One spreadsheet. I have multiple spreadsheets, so I guess there's a little variation there. But this is what they're dealing with, and this is what they want to do. They want to cut the 6 hours into three. They want to cut it down by half. Specific. Very specific. M, measurable. How will I measure my progress? Well, I'll track the time I spend processing Excel data every day and watch as the time decreases. So it's measurable. I want to take it from 6 hours to 3 hours. Is it attainable? Well, the way that you answer that is, do I have the skills and the resources for it? Do I have the skills and the resources for it? So you may not, you may feel, well, I don't have the skill. Well, do you have the resources? Can you learn? Is there a learning opportunity? Oh God, help us. Woo! Your goal should allow you to grow to the extent that you learn something. And so it's sometimes when people look at the attainable aspect of a SMART goal, they think to themselves in a way that makes the goal easy. It's not about the ease of the goal. Attainability doesn't mean that it's easy. It means that I can do it. Ah. God, I hear the Holy Ghost talking to somebody on this line. You need to remind yourself that yes, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do it. I can do it. If I put my mind to it, if I work it, it'll work. If I work it, it'll work. That's tonight's theme or tonight's focus with the lesson. So if I don't have the skills, I might have the resources and I have to learn something new. Okay, I have access to Excel ebooks that will help me to learn how to be more efficient when using Excel formulas. Some of you may be terrified of a spreadsheet. Somebody asks you to put something together in a spreadsheet, you might as well be given the task to build a rocket to go to the moon. But Excel is not that challenging, or let's put it this way, it is something you can learn. It is absolutely something you can learn. And so attainable has to do with, do I have the skills and or the resources? And quite honestly, if I don't have the skill, the issue is, am I willing to learn? Am I willing to learn? Because that's a part of attainability. Going on to R, relevant. Why is this goal important? That's the relevancy of it. Well, it's relevant because I spend 6 hours processing data in Excel, and that's too much of my time. Cutting that time in half would ensure I have more time for other work activities, because certainly there's much more to do in a day than to spend 6 hours out of an 8-hour day in a spreadsheet. And clearly this person realizes that their time could be better spent doing other things if I use my time more efficiently. And I'm saying this to somebody on the line right now. You can do more when you use your time efficiently. All of us have the same amount of time. Nobody on this line has more than 24 hours in a day. The question is, how effectively are you using those 24 hours? Are you truly using those 24 hours to accomplish, to achieve, or to move closer to doing that? And so this person with this particular model and example is saying it's very relevant because I need to be able to do other things. I have more time for other activities if I become more efficient with this project? Relevant. So the project, the goal must be relevant. And then time bound. When will I achieve the goal I've set? Well, I want to cut the time I spend on Excel calculations in half by the 15th of the next month. So it's very time bound. I've got a target date. And that's what the time bound aspect speaks to. When do I want to have this done by? And so this is the SMART goal. Well, I've got another one. I want to, you're saying, Pastor, you're going over this, you're going over this. Yes, I do want to drill this in your spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you get this in your spirit, when this becomes a part of your system, you're going to be able to apply this to every area of your lives. Do I want you to be growing Christians? Yes. Do I want you to know more of the Word of God? Yes. Do I want you to become conversant with Scripture and have a firm grasp on it so that you feel comfortable and confident and competent when you share it as a witness? Absolutely. But do I want you to be a smart worker? Yes. Do I want you to accomplish in your educational pursuits? Yes. Do I want you to become a marketable individual so that you can get not just any job, but the job of your choice that leads to a career? Yes. And so, you know, do I want you to be, in fact, do I want you to be a more effective spouse? Yes. Do I want you to be a better parent? Yes. Do I want you to be a better student? Yes. Do I want you to be a better son or a better daughter? Yes. But to be better means something. I've got to do something specific to be better. And if I'm going to be the example that I just shared with you is would answer the question or answer the goal of wanting to be a better employee. So if I want to be better at something, then let's put some teeth to what that better means and make a SMART goal and then strive to be better. It's the same concept that's used in performance evaluations at work. You get goals throughout the course at the beginning of the year, and you are given opportunities throughout the year to improve yourself in those areas, and you're expected to grow. And there are opportunities for learning. There's opportunities for doing, being involved in extra projects, et cetera, et cetera. All of that and your regular day-to-day functions and responsibilities. But all of that combined, to do that well, will make you, yes, that better employee. So, but it's not just enough to say, I want to be a better employee. Let's put some teeth to it and let's see what we can do to really make that vision come to pass. I believe you have a vision. And if you don't have a vision, I don't think you would be here if you didn't have a vision. Let me put it that way. You're here because you have a vision. And it is my goal to help to empower you to reach that goal. Ah, God, I want you to be successful. I don't want you to be dependent. I want you to be successful. I want you to be able to stand on your own two feet. I want you to be able to let your light shine. All of this is consistent with what God wants for you. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency of it may be of God and not of us. You know, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, we're pressing toward a mark. There's something to show for my life with God. My life with God has purpose and meaning. I can't wait to get into the scriptures with you all tonight. Let's go on. Specific. Make your goals specific and narrow for more effective planning. Just to say I want to be a better something is not good enough. You got to narrow that down and then put something specific as a goal. Measurable. Define what evidence will prove you're making progress and reevaluate when necessary. The fact that something is measurable works for your good because you don't have to wait until it's over to see whether you're making progress. If it's to do the Excel spreadsheet in 3 hours as opposed to six by the 15th of the next month, if you can begin to see right away, am I learning something that's cut off 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 20 minutes there? All that time adds up. And so it's absolutely measurable, not at the end, but in the process. And can I say this word to you tonight? process. It's a process. It's a process. Your growth is a process. Your elevation is a process. Your acquisitions are a process. Your successes are a process. Everything about you that moves you further along, it's connected to a process. Hallelujah. Your birthing was a process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything that God has for us, it comes through process. Don't hate the process, because the process is working for your good. Ah, God, measurable, attainable. Make sure you can reasonably accomplish your goal within a certain time frame. Again, the attainability of the goal. It can't be something that you set that is so hard to do that it will take a year to do, and you've only given yourself 6 months to do it. That's not fair to you. And please, let me interject this point. Be fair to yourself. You don't have to prove a thing to anybody. This journey that the Lord has us on, it's not to prove something to anyone. If there's any proving to anyone, we must be approved unto God. It is the Lord that we want to please. And of course, I know that in the scheme of life and in the composition of families and even in groups and organizations, that people like to please their leaders. They like to please the people they're accountable to. So it's understandable that children want to please their parents. It's understandable that husbands want to please their wives. It's understandable that wives want to please their husbands, and people want to please one another. It's understandable. But I'm not setting goals to really please you. My purpose, oh, God have mercy. I would like to please you, but my purpose is not to please you. My purpose is to please God. God put me here. I know I came through the birth canal of the sainted Evadne Louise Michael. I know that it was because of the intimate connection between my beloved father, Deacon Horace Michael, again with my sainted mother, Evadne Louise Michael, her dearly departed. And it was because they came together that because of that, I'm here. But I got news for you. They may have given me natural life, but they did not give me purpose. Whew. Purpose came from God. Purpose comes from God. Don't hurt yourself trying to please somebody. This is not about pleasing nobody. This is about giving glory to God. And if you please somebody in the process, great. But the purpose is to please God. Attainable, relevant is the R. Your goals should align with your values and long-term objectives. I loved this one. And this is why I wanted to share this with you, because this underscores the aspect of relevancy. It needs to align with your values and long-term objectives. Where do I see myself in 10 years? Where do I want to be in 10 years? I have shared the life plan model with members of this congregation for years. The young men of Beulah Tabernacle, during a series of teachings that I had with them, where it was me and the young men, I shared this model with them. I shared this model with the men when I was doing teaching with the men as well. I have shared this with you all for years, that you need to have a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, and in this case, even now, a 10-year plan. Where do I want to see myself? And you start with the 10-year, and then you work your way backwards. In 5 years, I want to have this done in toward the 10-year. In 3 years, I want to have this done. In 1 year, so that the plans are not random. They're connected. And so the relevancy is extremely important. You don't want to just make up something for the sake of making it up. Let the Holy Spirit direct you to something that's going to really keep you in line with God's purpose. And I think that one of the things that's important about this as well is that if you don't know, if you're having struggles with identifying your purpose, putting these goals down and working toward accomplishing them, you're going to find some things out about yourself. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Sometimes people don't want to put goals down and do this kind of thing because they don't want to see themselves. They don't want to confront. Sometimes it's safer to not plan because suppose I don't make it. Suppose I fail. I don't want you to be locked into an image that only speaks of your ability because you are a child of God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Sometimes it's easier to do nothing, but it costs you more. You can decide to do nothing with your life, but I promise you, it's going to cost you more to do nothing than if you did something. The cost of doing nothing is always greater than the cost of doing something. Do something. Lord, have batayara bosha. Woo! Make them goals relevant. It ties to your purpose. And if you don't have a clear understanding of what that is, start putting these goals together, start moving forward with it. And I promise you in the process, it'll come clearer. And this is why process is so important, because sometimes you don't think that the thing is working for your good, but everything is working for your good if you love the Lord. If you accept the fact that He has called you into His purpose, nothing that is happening in your life is not going to be factored into making you better. Nothing that's going on is that's happening right now. It's going to be left out. All of it is going to build you. All of it is going to strengthen you. And you know, they used to say, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. There's some truth in that, but I'm not trying to kill you. But God's will for our lives may take us into the valley of the shadow of death. God's will in our lives may cause us to get to a blind spot so that the works of God might be manifest in us. God's will may bring us to a place of what may seem endless pain, but while weeping may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Time-based. Set a realistic, ambitious end date for task prioritization and motivation. So you got to have a time set on this. You got to have a time on it, because what the time-bound aspect will do is it'll force you to prioritize. I got to get done what I need to get done. I don't have time to waste. And so I got to keep it moving. I got to keep it moving. I simply have to keep it moving. Let's go to the Word of God. Psalms 90, verse 10 through 12. I need a reader. Psalms 90, verse 12, 10 to 12. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put the verses in right now in the chat. Psalms 90, verse 10 through 12. I'm going to put them in there. We got some reading. Genesis 39. 1 through 23. Well, I'm going to let that's just FYI. I'm going to put FYI next to that. That's for you to note. But I'm going to talk to some points there. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to give you these again. I'm typing them in the chat so that the people that are on Zoom and chat can see this. And again, I'm putting them in there. Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 17, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Amen. Thank you, Dale. Dale's got Psalms 1. Dale Daniel, thank you, son. Isaiah 55, and we'll end there. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. I've got a reader for Psalms 1. Verses 1 through 3. Yep, somebody already got Psalms 1. You can pick some. I need somebody else. And here's the Isaiah verse. I didn't hit the Isaiah verse out for everybody. Let me read the verses again. Psalms 90, verse 10 through 12. An FYI for Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 23. It's too much to read right now, but I'm going to talk to it. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. Isaiah 54, verse 17. And Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. All right. Thank you so much, Sister Marbury, for Isaiah 55. She got there first. I need, I don't know what sushi is. Somebody type sushi in the chat. Maybe they have after the prayer, Isaiah 54. Okay, thank you. I've got a reader for that. Sister Hobby, gotcha. Thank you so much. I need a reader for Psalms 90, verses 10 through 12, and we can get going. Psalms 90, verses 10 through 12. Can I have a reader for that, please? Just need one more reader. Psalm 90, verse, okay, Sister Claudia, thank you so much. Psalms 90, verses 10 through 12. Okay, we're going to begin at Psalms 90, verse 10 through 12. I want you to understand when it comes down to being that big dreamer, God is ordering your steps. And I'm going to put this one out there for you all to make a note of as well. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Your steps, you're about to take some big steps. If you can receive it, Psalms 37, verse 23 is for you. And you need to write down in your notes, take big steps. Psalms 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. But I'm sure that it's not restricted to men, because I know a lot of women that's making some serious steps. To God be the glory. Let's go to the word. Psalm 90. Verse 10 through 12, Sister Claudia, please read.
The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to the fear of thee, so is thy wrath. So teach us to remember our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There ended the 12th verse of Psalm 90. God be the glory.
Amen. Teach us to number our days, even in Scripture. Scripture talks to us about time. The days of our years are 80 and 10. A score is 20. So 80 is 3 times 20, which is 60, and 10 is 70. The days of our years are 80 and 10. And if by reason of strength, if we are strong enough, they can be 80 years, 80 years. Now, oftentimes, people feel that I'm too old for this. I'm too old for that. I'm too old for the other thing. Well, the scripture is saying that even a 70-year-old and an 80-year-old have purpose. And while there is labor and sorrow in the midst of those years, and although it will soon cut off and we will fly away, we need to understand our purpose so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. Numbering your days is not necessarily counting yourself out. It's saying, I need to understand that by the grace and the mercy of God, I've got a certain amount of time here. I don't know how much time it is, but I need to make these days count. Put it down in your notes. Make the day count. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to understand that our days are numbered. We're not going to be here forever. So I need to apply my heart to wisdom. Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 23 is the panoramic display of God's mercy and grace, promotion and drama associated with the life of Joseph. You need to read that when you get a moment. Everything was going his way, then everything just tanked. He had a great vision. He had his coat of many colors. God was talking to him, and then everything just went south. It went from the heights of greatness and hope, anticipation, to a pit and then a jail because of nothing that he did wrong. He did nothing wrong. But in the midst of the wrong, God was getting ready to do something for him. And he had to handle, you need to read that because you have to know how to handle the wrong because God's going to make the wrong right. And you don't want to blow, you don't want to mess up in the wrong so you never get to the right. God have mercy. Oh God, don't blow it in the wrong so that you never get to the right because God has an expected end for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you to an expected end. His plan is not going to always be easy for you, but it's always going to take you to the place he wants you to get to. Oh my God, I'm about to jump out of the seat. It's not going to always be easy. So there'll be some easy days. It ain't going to always be easy though. But his plan will always get you to where he wants you to be. The key in this text, Genesis 39, verses 1 through 12, is that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him, verse 23 says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under Joseph's hand. It says his hand, but it's Joseph. Because the Lord was with him, with Joseph. And that which he did, what Joseph did, the Lord made it to prosper. God have mercy. God made it prosper because the Lord was with him. Don't you tell me that just because you had a bad day, just because you had a bad week, just because you had a bad month, just because you had a bad year, oh God, that the Lord is not with you. The Lord is with you whithersoever thou goest. Be mindful of that and hold on to what he's told you because his promise will never fail. We're going to move to Brother Dale Daniel. He's going to read for us Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3, which is connected to this idea of doing and prospering. Doing and prospering. Dale, go ahead, son.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
I want you to understand. Thank you, Dale. I want you to understand that there is a direct connection when it comes down to purpose between what you do and prosperity. When you operate according to God's principles cannot fail. The profile of the blessed man is the profile of the believer who is walking in God's wisdom, walking in God's graces, walking in God's mercy. When you walk like that, favor follows. When you walk like that, power follows. When you walk like that, greater follows. It's just like the thing that's so phenomenal. In the world, money follows money. Woo! Money follows money because because when you do something good with what you have and there's fruit, more fruit comes. Oh God. Somebody say more fruit. Somebody say more. And I don't need you to say it out loud. I just want you to say it. I don't need you to say it where it can be heard in the call. I want you to say it to yourself. More fruit. More fruit. Write this down. John chapter 15, verse 12. Every branch in me. This is where the scripture gives us this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Somebody say more fruit. Somebody write that down. John 15, 12, more fruit. That purging process takes away the impediments and allows the branch to bear more fruit. It moves away the things. It cuts away anything and everything that would hold back the growth. Oh my God, I feel like jumping out of this chair. Somebody ought to say, Lord, prune me. Prune me. Cut away everything that's preventing my growth. Sometimes it's because there's dirt on the branch. Oh God. And the branch needs to be clean. Oh God. Oh God. The branch. The branch has to be set up for growth. And sometimes pruning is a part of that process. Oh God. The Lord is working right now. The Lord is working right now. There's somebody on this line who the Holy Spirit is speaking to, and there's something that the Holy Ghost is about to do. And when we look at Psalms 139, verse 24, this is another freebie I'm throwing out there. Verse 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. And if I have, then guide me onto the road of eternal life. I don't want anything wicked or hurtful, any wicked or hurtful way, any offensive way, anything that is holding me back. I want you to expose it. I want you to reveal it. And it's not to expose to put me out in front of people. It's to expose it so that I can be free. Oh, God. Woo. You cannot grow when you're carrying something you ain't supposed to. The scripture says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. I know the Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill ye the law of Christ. But understand this, and you are not a burden bearer. You're not designed to carry. You're not designed to carry somebody. And what I mean by this is there are some things that it's your job to do, and there's other things that it's the Holy Ghost's job to do. You cannot fulfill your job if you're doing the Holy Ghost's job. Oh, my God, my God. Y'all pray for me. Y'all praying for me? When Psalms 1 verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You need to tell yourself, I can do this. I can do this. I can stand on my own 2 feet and keep it moving. Oh, it doesn't mean that we don't support one another. We're a body ministry. The body of Christ has been designed where every joint supplies. In other words, we are connected to each other and we need each other. But when it comes down to me fulfilling my purpose, I don't need the foot to help for the hand to do the hand's job. I don't need the knee for the elbow to do the elbow's job. We are interconnected, but the Lord is our helper. It is the Lord that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. It's not you working in me or me working in you. It's God working in us. I'm telling somebody right now, you can do this. You can do this. Let's go to Sister Hobby real quick. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Sister Hobby, and then we've got one more verse, and then we got to pray. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Sister Michelle Hobby.
Okay. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
No weapon. Thank you, Sister Hobby. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. Now, let me put this in context for you. Because I know that some will say, well, yeah, I'm dealing with some serious stuff and it's holding me back. Sometimes dealing with insecurities, sometimes dealing with low resources, sometimes dealing with feelings of self-worth. The enemy will always take advantage of emotions that cause you to focus on yourself. You need to put that down. The enemy will always take advantage of emotions that cause you to focus on yourself. The enemy will never help to promote within you emotions that cause you to focus on God. And anytime I focus on myself, I'm not focusing on God. And so now, what you need to understand is that the weapons are formed. You have to decide whether you're going to live out your heritage. Woo! The heritage of the redeemed is that righteousness is on my life. There is a inheritance. There is a disposition. There is something about me in the Holy Ghost that is greater. Oh God. I have come into something that is a part of my heredity. My makeup, my DNA. Exercise your Holy Ghost DNA. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a servant of the Lord. And God stands up for me. And he says, their righteousness is of me. God is my vindicator. It is God that vindicates me. Woo! It is God that stands up for my defense. He is the one that clears me from blame and accusation because my righteousness is of him. I'm not standing on my own. I'm standing because he's in me. No weapon. I got Holy Ghost DNA. Woo, let's get to Sister Marbury with Isaiah 55 real quick. I hope this is blessing somebody. Isaiah 55, verse 10 through 11. Sister Marbury, please.
For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Marbury. You have so much working for you that it does not matter what is working against you. I don't care if it's a lack of education. I don't care if it's a lack of resources. I don't care if, I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you let me tell you the truth, I'll tell you the truth. The greatest enemy that you will ever face in the journey of purpose is not a demon. It's not the devil. It's not a lack of anything. It's you. You will be your biggest enemy because only you can hold you back from the promises of God. Every one of his promises are yes and amen. And so I'm standing in agreement with you that God is going to get this done. I'm standing in agreement with you that the Lord is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? I'm standing in agreement with you that relationship with God is going to result in revelation in your spirit. And when the young man was with the prophet Elisha, And Elisha and the young man were surrounded by the enemy. And the young man got up to tend to the animals and saw the fact that they were surrounded by the enemy. His first response was fear. And it was because he couldn't see what he had going for him. The prophet prayed and said, Lord, open up the young man's eyes that he might see. And when God answered that prophet's prayer, and before that, the prophet told the young man, he said, don't worry about it. They that be with us, it's more than they that are against us. The prophet saw it. Wasn't because he was smarter. It's because he walked with God. Relationship is always connected to revelation. You cannot have revelation without relationship. Just like young Samuel. Young Samuel was a dedicated kid working with Eli, but he did not have relationship with God. He had relationship with Eli, but he did not have relationship with God. When he started to develop a relationship with God, he was hearing from God. He was able to hear God. And that hearing, Eli was really good with this. Eli was not the best. He wasn't necessarily the best parent, but he sure was a good mentor. He recognized what the Lord was doing with the young boy. He said, after three times, said, oh, okay, I got it. I see what's going on here. Now, Eli was asleep. You know, he was. And sometimes when you wake somebody up from a good sleep, they're a little bit thrown off. The third time it happened, Eli said, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. God is trying to get this boy's attention. And so Eli said to him, the next time that you hear somebody call your voice, just answer back. Here I am, Lord, your servant heareth you. That was the beginning of relationship. You got to hear. You got to listen and then respond appropriately. Eli gave Samuel the instruction as to how to respond. Samuel responded in like fashion, and God began to talk to him. It was a process. It was a process. But it was revelation that followed relationship. Relationship came first. As Samuel began to develop relationship with God, he was able to hear God. Even when Israel was acting crazy, he was able to hear God. Nobody's craziness will stop you from hearing God. When God is talking to you, the crazy drama of people's lives will not stop you from hearing God talk to you. It's going to work if you work it. My God, I don't think you don't have any idea how fired up I am in the Holy Ghost right now, but I'm going to decrease so that we can have the prayer tonight. Brothers, our sister, and our young people representative will come in that order. You all know who you are. Take a few minutes to open up your heart, pray intercessorily, pray as the Holy Spirit leads you. Again, the brotherhood, then the sisters, and then the young people. So whoever is the brotherhood representative, take your phone off mute, please. The sisterhood representative should follow right after that person, and the young people's representative should follow right after that person. Let's go to the throne of grace. Take a few minutes and lead us in. God bless you.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for blessing our pastor, our bishop, Bishop Horace C. Michael. Lord, we thank you for your great works in his life. And allow him to be able to sacrifice, to come and bring your word to us, Lord. And open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, to your word. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us. Lord, you've been so good. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we love you, Lord, and we adore you, and we are thankful for him, for allowing him to sacrifice time and bring it and bring your word to us. Lord, we love you, Lord. This is our day. Lord, this is a blessed day, which we shall not forget. And Lord, we thank you for being such a wonderful Savior to us. Lord, please continue to bless and keep us all, each and every one of us that's on the line right now tonight, to be able to hear your words and hear Bishop bringing your words to us and opening up our eyes of understanding. Lord, thank you. We love you, Lord. We adore you. We worship you. Lord, we thank you for goodness and mercy that follow us all the days of our lives. And we should not forget to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praises. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, Lord God, we come before you humble in the name of the Lord. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that you search us and see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Purge us with hyssop and we shall be clean. Wash us and we shall be whiter than snow. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Father, Lord God, give us a do right spirit in the name of the Lord. Lord God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your most holy name, for thou art the author and the finisher of our faith, and our trust doeth lie in thee, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we lift up your name on high, for thou art worthy of the praise, Lord God. Lord God, we know no other help but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, Lord God, thou knowest who's on this line. Father, Lord God, we ask you to intercede and move in a mighty way, for thou knowest what we stand in need of, Father. Lord God, bring down every stronghold in the name of Jesus and lift us up where we're supposed to be in you, Lord God. Oh, Father, Lord God, as we live upon this earth until you come back, hallelujah, Father, Lord God, we occupy ourselves with thine will, with the things that thou will have us to do in the name of Jesus. Lord God, guide us in the way that we need to go, Lord God. Make things plain unto us, hallelujah. What is our purpose here, Lord God? Hallelujah, that we may do your will, hallelujah. Make it plain, oh God. Open our understandings, Lord God, for we desire to do thine will, not ours, but thine will, Father, Lord God. We love you, Lord God, hallelujah. Have thine way, bless right now, name by name, house by house, individually and collectively. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh God, I can't praise you enough, but I look unto the hills from which cometh my help. Our help comes from you, only you, Lord God. And we lean and depend solely upon you. You are our all in all. And we give you glory and honor in the midst of circumstances. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord God. We give you glory. We say hallelujah, for thou art worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. Anyhow, not letting our problems stop us, but giving you glory in the midst of it. Hallelujah, Lord God. I love you, Lord God. We lean on you right now, Lord God. We thank you, hallelujah, for your man serving. Hallelujah. Continue to have your way in his life and strengthen him in you, Lord God. Continue to use him to your glory. Guide him in the way that he needs to go. Bless us all in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the teaching that takes us to our next level in you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord God, to do what you will do with another. Yes, in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Our hope is in you, Lord God. No one else. We look not here. We look not there, but we look unto you. Hallelujah. For thou art the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for our first lady. Continue to cover her with your blood and strengthen her in the name of Jesus. Continue to use her to your glory for many souls. She's blessed. Hallelujah. Have thine way and let your blood prevail over her life. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, bless the first family. Bless Beulah Tabernacle family, all of the saints, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, those are working in the name of Jesus. Kaya Shama. Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Going through trials and tribulations in their life. Work it out, Lord God. Let them know you'll never leave them, but you'll be with them to the end of the world. Hallelujah, Lord God. We lean and depend on you, Father, Lord God. Bless us, Lord Kaya Shania Tabaya. Hallelujah. Everyone, Lord God, you know what they stand in need of. Lord God, we lean and depend on you. We thank you in advance, my Lord. The enemy, you said you'd never leave us. Hallelujah. And you'll be there with us. Let your blood prevail, Lord God. Make name, yes, sir. Make ways out of no way in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, many of us have petitions before you, Lord God, but we thank you in advance, knowing you hear our cry and you'll answer us in the name of Jesus. Not in our time, but in your time. You're never late, but you're always on time. And Lord God, we praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a learning experience in everything, Lord God.
Teach us, Lord God. Make it plain, hallelujah, that we may go on in you, Lord God. No matter what it looks like, Lord God, you got us, hallelujah. Lord God, bless your people, hallelujah. Lord, we love you, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for Deacon Michael. Covering with your blood and strengthen him, Lord God. Bless him, hallelujah. Glory be to God. We thank you for Mother Thompson. Have your way, Lord God. Strengthen her. Take her through. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, some of us have loved ones in the hospital, Lord God. Oh, Lord, God, heal them, Lord God. Deliver and set free. Hallelujah, Lord God. We know you're able. We love you, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to call upon our name. We thank you for the opportunity to be in the midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray we're worthy to escape the wrath of God and be called up to meet you in the air. Hallelujah. When your Christ discussing the yes and I'm a yes, say hallelujah, Lord God. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. You know everything, Lord God. Work it out. And yes, sir. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord God, we pray for my son, Oprah, who will have his surgery. Let your blood prevail, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Even my brother having surgery, Lord God, we love you, Lord God. We know, Lord God, keep your hands upon their lives. Lord, we love you right now, Lord God. We praise you. Hallelujah, Lord God. I can't praise you enough. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Dear Lord, help me to remember what a difference it makes when I make time with you a priority in my life. Awaken us in body and spirit each day with the desire to meet with you and to hear you speak words of kindness, assurance, and wisdom over our hearts as we prepare to go along our days. Even with many distractions and negativity, I am greatly thankful that we can come to you and vent whenever we can. It is not only the things that add substance, but it is your word, loving God. I pray that you will comfort us and give us confidence during tough times. Lend skill to the hands of our guidance and protectors, and bless the means used for their protection. Bless all those struggling with work and school. Give us each such confidence in the power of your grace, that even when we are afraid, we may put our whole trust in you. Thank you, God, for allowing us to grow during a difficult year. We are big dreamers. Allow us to learn and expand our smart goals through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, we thank you this night for the power of the prayers that has been prayed. We thank you, Lord, for the sincerity and the purity, for the transparency and for the honesty, but most of all, for the faith and the fire and the fervency. Thank you for faith being released right now. Faith that is even the size of a grain of mustard seed that can move mountains. Thank you for the fire which represents your presence, the refining fire of God that will take away all impurities and leave us as pure gold. Oh, the fervor that you invite us into the relationship in prayer. Lord, you want us to pray with our whole heart. You want us to pray with our feelings. It's okay to pray with our feelings because that's where the fervency comes. That's where the emotion is. And it's fine to pray with our emotions. But Lord God, most of all, we come by faith. You told us we can come to you even with our tears. We can come to you with the things that make us afraid. We can come to you with our anxiety, Lord, even with our failure. And we know that we will be coming into the presence of a Father that loves us more than we can imagine, that cares for us more than we can ever know, that has given for us something that could never be matched. Oh, God, how you love us. I thank you for the prayers that have gone up as a sweet smelling savor unto you. I thank you for the courage that's on this line. Thank you for the anticipation and the expectation of every soul that's here. Thank you for healing tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing tonight.
Oh, God, you told us, Lord, if it's going to work, it's going to be because we have worked it. It's going to work if we work it. Lord God, we know that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've given us the tools if we'd only trust you to use them. You've given us the resources if we only rely on you to take advantage of it. You've given us the wherewithal if we would only look to you, the Lord, our strength and our joy. Lord God, there are times that have been dark. Last year has left us, Lord God, with such a mark. Oh God, the loss of life and loved ones, the loss of properties and the loss of finances, Lord, the increase in stress and distractions. Oh God, the challenges of educational development, not just maintenance, but development and excelling academically, the challenges for learning, the challenges for maintaining budgets. Oh God, the challenges seem insurmountable, but Lord, it is then that we take the word that you have given us and we apply that word to our lives. And we remind ourselves that there is a great God that's working on our behalf. And that if we would trust you, we would be like Mount Zion that cannot be removed. Our confidence in you, Lord God, I pray that you will bring. Some need it to be restored. Some have been so affected that their confidence has been shaken. Lord, pour in the oil. Pour in the oil that heals. Pour in the oil that refreshes. Pour in the oil that saves. And tonight, I thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you have shared. We commit ourselves into your hands. We speak this word over your people. It's going to work if we work it. And so now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, one and all. Hey, glory to God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you on tonight. I want to take a moment to let you give God some praise. If there is somebody on this line that wants to give God praise and you want your praise to be heard, please, ma'am, please, sir, unmute yourself. Let the people that are listening to this recording hear the sound of Zion's praise. Let your praise be heard. Feel free, unmute yourself and give God some praise. Let the people hear the sound of Zion. Let the people hear the sound of rejoicing. Let the people hear the sound of confidence in God. Come on, beloved. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Mute your phone. Mute yourself. Let the sound come forth. Zion be heard. Let Zion be heard.
You're worthy. We say thank you to our Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you right now, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're magnified. You have made and you will continue to rejoice and be glad. Lord, we just say thank you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We lift up your name on high. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we believe and we plan to do, Lord God. And in you, Lord, we just say thank you tonight. Lord, we say thank you tonight. We say thank you tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just bless your name right now. Lord, you are a strong tower, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we say thank you, Lord. You are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You have a voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Have a voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Have a voice.
Thank you. Lord, I say,
lift up. Lift up that voice. Lift up that prayer.
Praise
up that prayer.
Praise him,
Jesus.
Praise him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Blessed Savior.
Yes.
He's worthy to be praised. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior.
Yes, yes.
Worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same.
Thank you.
He's worthy. Yes. Jesus is worthy.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
He's worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Praise
thank you.
Him.
Thank you. Yes, praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Come on and praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised.
Yes, yes.
From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. So praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Come on, praise him.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus, blessed Savior. He's worthy to be praised. Yes, Jesus, blessed Savior. He's worthy to be.
Father, we thank you for this night in your presence. We give you glory, honor, and praise. No matter what the day has been, no matter what the week has been, no matter what the month has been, no matter what the year has been, Jesus, blessed Savior, you are worthy to be praised. God bless you tonight, beloved. Let these words take root within your spirit, that your faith might stand not in the words of man, but in the word of God. God bless you. God bless you. Our call will come to an end. The saints that are here can continue to just
rest in the presence of God. We will keep the line open for that moment in Jesus' name. God bless you until we meet again, until we greet again. Take the limits off God.